The reading is written in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 12 and 22 to 25, and can be found in the Church Bible on page 1217, 1217. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that they have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Richard and Bridget. Shall we just pray as we start? Father God, we thank you for your word, for the living and enduring word. Lord, we thank you that we can read it, we can digest it. Father, would you this morning help us to understand it well? That it might take root in us, that it might change us as we seek to become more like Jesus. Amen. So you might, it'd be really helpful if you could have that, the passage in 1 Peter open, either kind of on a physical kind of Bible or a phone or a tablet or whatever you have with you. So it's page 1217, I think, in the Church Bibles. So we're continuing our series on 1 Peter. And hasn't 1 Peter been great? I don't know if you've managed to make all the sermons. If you haven't, I really encourage you to listen to them online. It has been great. Peter manages to cram so much in to such a small space. Every verse is laden with rich words. Words that of themselves and by themselves have produced books and sermons. Words that have such deep meanings for us. Words that are life-changing. And words can be like that, can't they? Words can give us identity. My parents called me Moody when I was a teenager, and that has remained with me a bit. And Dave, bless him, calls me Complicated. And I like to challenge him by living up to that name that he's given me. Words can link us to our family, can't they? Dave's mum always called kind of antiseptic cream Aquaflex. Who's heard of Aquaflex here? I think you have to be a particular generation, just to say. So Dave always says, can I have some Aquaflex? And I'm like, what is that? So we now actually have Aquaflex because I Googled it on Amazon and we have some in the cupboard. Words, though, can also wound, can't they? I can remember things that, you know, names I was called, words that have been said over me that I still hold on to. Words can endure, can't they? They can last. We still have phrases that we use in our everyday from the Bible. Phrases like at the 11th hour or the blind leading the blind. And words can, but as well as words enduring, they can also change, can't they? And we know many words whose meanings now are quite different from what they used to be. And you have to be really careful because you can get caught out. This last week, as I was thinking and preparing for this, there was a report on the BBC it was entitled Mascara on TikTok. So mascara, in case you don't know, is, you know, something that women put on their eyelashes to make them look darker, better, thicker. And TikTok, I don't use TikTok, but I understand it to be a social media platform that our young people use to post videos on. And the report was that mascara on TikTok, where people were using the word to talk about relationships in such a way that would avoid TikTok's censorship filters. And I was just really struck by that. So this morning, we are looking at two sections of 1 Peter. David kindly left one section from his week for me to pick up now. So we've got verses 10 to 12 and then 22 to 25. But the thread that holds these verses, two groups of verses together, is the living and enduring word of God. Word spoken before time. Word that spoke creation into being. Words that sustains life. Words spoken through the prophets, those Old Testament messengers, fulfilled and completed in Jesus, the living word that has been shared and passed on and handed to us. So we're going to see, hopefully, three things this morning from this passage, these passages in 1 Peter. First, that this word is life-sharing. Secondly, that the word is life-giving. And thirdly, that the word is life-changing. So life-sharing, life-giving, life-changing. So let's look at, first up, life-sharing word. So looking at verses 10 to 12 and then the end of verse 25. So verses 10 to 12. So what we see in these verses is that the prophets were given the word, but they didn't fully understand it in verse 10. So the prophet spoke of the grace that was to come to you, but they searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out. So they pointed towards Jesus, the Messiah, as we're told in verse 11. They longed to see their words fulfilled, but it was not to be for them. It was not their job. Their job was to speak the words that they were given, to pass them on. And this word is given for us. I didn't notice this initially when I was looking at this, but between verses 10 to 12, Peter refers to the words being given to us four times. So we have verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you. And then verse 12, they were not serving themselves, but you. And when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those that have preached the gospel to you. So Peter was writing this to the church, but that's us. The word, the message is given for us. It has been shared, handed on like our baton, shared from generation to generation, Christian to Christian, down through the ages, for us. The Holy Spirit, who inspired the word, caused the word to be preached to us. Look at the end of verse 25. This is the word that was preached to you. We have this amazing privilege. We have the whole revelation of Scripture written by the Spirit. That's really clear in verse 11. Written by the Spirit of Christ, that speaks of the sufferings and glories of Jesus, again in verse 11, i.e. his death, his resurrection, his ascension into glory. We also see, so we have the word inspired by the Holy Spirit. We have the fulfillment of that word. We see what that word was speaking to. All of those prophecies, we see them fulfilled in Jesus. And then, if you are a believer, we have this same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that lives, dwells in us to complete that ongoing work of revelation, of showing us Jesus, of helping us to become more like Jesus. I don't know if we fully grasp what a privilege it is to have the revelation of Scripture, to have the revelation in Jesus, and to have that ongoing revelation that the Holy Spirit brings to us. But do you know what angels do? They know the privilege that we have. Look at verse 12. Even angels long to look into these things. There's a song by a group called Casting Crowns that I really love. It's called A Song That the Angels Can't Sing. And it speaks, the lyrics speaks of songs, a song of redemption, of being lost but found by Jesus, a song of righteousness, being made right with God, and a song of deliverance, of being set free. Songs that we can sing, but the angels can't. Angels look on. They have witnessed the unfolding plan of salvation across history. They marvel, they give praise to God, but they can't experience for themselves the joy in being saved, in being made right with God, being set free, that we have. We are so privileged. We have the whole of the Bible, the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus to us through his word, the life-giving word that has been shared, handed on with us, like that baton. My dad was the one that passed on the message to me. He used to sit with us at night and read Bible stories to us. He was my Sunday school teacher for a number of years. He was the one that taught me initially to memorize scripture. I used to sit in our Sunday service, morning services, learning the scripture that he'd been set for us for Sunday school in the afternoon. He spoke in our evening services. But there have been many, many people over the years who have been faithful baton passers on us, baton sharers with me, who have passed on the word. The baton, the word has come to us to share. But we need to know it. We need to know the living word, Jesus, and his written word, to be able to pass it on to somebody. Do you know it? Do you know who you are meant to be passing it on to? So that's the life-sharing word. Let's move on to the life-giving word. So looking at verse 23 now. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. This is an amazing word. These words are just life-giving. The Bible tells us that we were dead because of our sin. Oh, that's our rebellion against God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. But when we give our lives to Jesus, this Jesus who's revealed by the Holy Spirit in the Word, who lived and died for us. When we give our lives to Jesus, verse 23 says, we are reborn. We are born again. New life is birthed in us. And this new life is eternal, or as Peter says, it is imperishable. As we put our trust and confidence in God and in the truthfulness of his word, we are born again. And Peter, in this verse, is using this image of a seed. But it's not here a seed that we put into the ground and grows into a flower, vegetable, or tree, or something or other. It's not, and it's not the image that, like we have in many of the Gospels, of a sower sowing the seed. No, the image here that Peter is using is the seed of a man who, with a woman, gives birth to new human life. The word gives birth to new life. And this new life has, as we've seen over the last few weeks, new identity, new purpose, a new family, a new living hope, a new inheritance, imperishable inheritance. And we're going to see in a minute that we have a new heart that means that we can love differently. What difference does that make? Well, it makes all the difference in the world. I wonder what you think of when you think of a newborn baby, a brand new life, full of potential, pure, spotless, not marred by pain and sorrow. And I know we live in a broken world. I know that not all babies are born like that, but just think about that at the moment. Or think about this morning, I was thinking about when you have a heavy snowfall and nobody has been out there and it's perfect, isn't it? And you long, don't you, to be the first person to go and to step on it. Or a beach where the sea has just cleaned the sand and it's smooth and it's perfect and nobody has been out there on it. There's no marks and you want to just step out. That's what this is, this newness, new life, not marked in any way, but perfect, spotless, ready to be written on again. You know, I'm so, so thankful for this. I know just how messed up my life was, how there was no way out. I couldn't see any way out and how I needed saving. But Jesus didn't save me so I can just carry on as before. No, he's given me a new life. New life is birthed in me. I am a different person. Even with this, I know I still mess up. I am a work in progress. And I need to keep coming back to Jesus when I mess up. But I know I am not what I was. I am new. I have new life through the word. However you have come today, whatever you bring with you, you have this amazing opportunity and privilege to be born again, to experience new birth and new life with the living and enduring word, Jesus, forever. So we have received this life-giving word that has been shared with us. What happens next? Let's look at the life-changing word. Look at verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth that you have, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Peter's words here, having purified yourselves, can be understood in different ways. But at the heart of his words is that when we commit our lives to Jesus, we set ourselves apart to follow his way and not the way of the world. We are made clean. We are completely changed, different, as I've said, born again. And the evidence of our obedience and our decision to follow the truth, Peter says, is how we love each other. When we commit ourselves to following Jesus, our lives will be marked by our love for each other. And this is a command from Peter. Love one another deeply. He says it again in chapter 4 and verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply. Interestingly, in verse 22 here, Peter's using two different words for love. We just have love translated in English. But one is this brotherly love for each other. And the second is this sacrificial love that the Father has for us. And I think why Peter's doing this is to emphasise to us just the extent to which, just how completely we are to love each other. So why does Peter do this here? Well, remember the context. Peter is writing to churches who are facing hard times, who are facing suffering and persecution, to encourage them on, to keep going. You know, my tendency, and I'm sure the same with some of you, is when we face hard times, to pull away from the church because it feels too much or too overwhelming, and I just want to hide myself away. But Peter's saying, no, you've got to step into it. You have to keep going. We have to press in to each other. We have to stand with our fellow Christians. That's why the play is just really, really important, because we are standing with our fellow Christians and we need to press into that. And our obedience to following Jesus and this new birth that we have should enable us to love differently. Differently from those around us, because our motivation is changed. We can love each other sincerely without wanting something in return. We don't have to have this relationship where I'll do something for you if you do something for me, or I'll expect something from you if I do this for you. We can overlook the things that annoy us. We can bear with each other in love. It means we can be kind, we can be patient, forbearing, gentle, humble, generous with each other, having self-control. You know, the next season for us, or the time for us ahead at St. Patrick's, could be really stretching. We have vacancies in our staff team, as Tony prayed about. We have this amazing centre next door, which is just brilliant, and it's going to bring amazing opportunities. But actually, it's also hard work. It takes a lot to keep it going. And praise God, we are also growing, aren't we, as a church. This word I felt from Peter was really timely. We need to have a sincere love, a deep love, a sacrificial love from the heart, from this new heart, for each other. And we need to keep on loving each other. The world will see and judge us by how we care for each other, especially when times are hard and when we disagree. We should be looking for how we can care well for each other, how we can support those who lead us. We need to seek out ways to love each other, to look after each other. It's not a choice. This is a command from Peter. It's not whether we feel like it, but it's only possible because of the life-changing word of God. As people who have obeyed the word, set ourselves apart to following Jesus, being born again, we can love each other deeply and with a sincere love. So as I finish, I love the pattern that we have here in these two sets of verses from Peter, the living and eternal word from before time, given to us, given to the prophets, shared with us, this word that gives us new life when we put our trust in the one who is the word and who speaks the word. And that new life changes how we love each other. So I have three questions for you as I close. Have you received this new life from the living word? Who are you sharing the enduring word with? And have you allowed the life-giving word to change how you love your fellow Christians? Amen.